John.
Thank you, Pastor Ryan. Good morning, Christ Church. Hey, it's good to be back in the saddle again after a couple of weeks of vacation, and we're jumping into September here in a brand new series called Gospel Truth in Dr. Seuss. You know, here's the deal. I'm not going to be preaching on Dr. Seuss. You know, I mean, we teach God's word here. It is that Dr. Seuss stories are going to be used as illustrating God's word. And so we're going to see how all of that comes together. You know, today is all about faithfulness and integrity and why these are two highly prized commodities and qualities that God desires in his followers. He desires us to model, to live, to exemplify faithfulness and a life of integrity. Well, we're going to be looking at that, and how am I going to illustrate all of that? Through a Dr. Seuss book called Horton Hatches the Egg. That's the one today. Horton Hatches the Egg. Now, while you're pulling out your Christchurch notes, you'll find a pen or pencil on the seat back in front of you. If you'll pull those out, get all of that ready. While you're doing that, I'm going to introduce to you the newest member of the Christchurch staff. A little bit different than our usual staff people. Well, somehow a little bit different. But anyway, here he is, and this is Riggins. Hello, Riggins. There we go. All right. This is Riggins' dog. He's a Labradoodle, hypoallergenic, does not shed, which is a good thing. And he is in training to become a certified therapy dog. Riggins is here 6 days a week, so you'll, as time goes on, you'll see him in the gathering hall, you'll see him in our possibilities ministry, you'll see him during the week at Green Tree, our Green Tree school. And Riggins is, he's full of life, isn't he?
Yeah,
but he does not live here at the church, right?
Me and my family at our house, and we take him to all his training, and then he comes here to work with me. So if you see me, you'll see the puppy.
There you go. Well, it is a pleasure to have Riggins with us. We're looking forward to enjoying him on staff. In fact, I think he's better behaved than Brian Green. You know, so that is a good thing. Here you go. I'll just set him down right there. Let's welcome Riggins, all right? All right. His official title is the Director of Comfort, and that's exactly what he's going to be doing. As you know, as our possibilities ministry grows, having Riggins on staff is proven in many ways to be an incredible comfort to those that are suffering with anxiety and other issues. And Riggins is going to be, a great addition to the Christ Church staff. Well, having said all of that, welcome to Whoville. Here we are, right? Here we are in Whoville, and we're going to be talking about integrity and faithfulness today. So let's just jump right in, shall we? Jump right in. Our first scripture is there before us on the screen, on your outline as well. Wise old King Solomon had this to say. Let's all say it together. Ready? Everyone talks about how loyal and faithful he is, but just try to find someone who really is. There you go. Well, wise old King Solomon, he didn't pull any punches with that, did he? I mean, everybody talks about how faithful and loyal he or she is, but just try to find someone who really is. You know, what's he talking about? What he's talking about here is loyalty and faithfulness in people are in short supply. It's a valuable commodity, but it's in short supply. It's hard to find people who are dependable and trustworthy and true. It's very difficult to find people who are consistent. You know, and we live in a society, you and I, we know this. This is no secret, right? I mean, we live in a society that really doesn't want to commit to much of anything. You know, we hardly RSVP, you know, to parties when they come. You know, we don't want to commit to a career. We don't want to commit to, many people don't want to commit to their church. We don't want to commit to relationships. You know, we are a society that just has a phobia against committing to very much of anything at all. You know, there was a time when faithfulness was something that we really began, that people understood. But today, you know, you don't hardly hear the word faithful unless you're referring to a dog or the geyser in Yellowstone Park, right? You know, a few years ago, my family and I, we went to Yellowstone, and here's a picture of us standing. You can see the geyser in the back. You know, it's been a long time. You know, both those kids have graduated from college, all right? So those are my kids up there. And we went to Yellowstone, and I've got to tell you, As nice as Yellowstone is, you know, Yellowstone is not the most spectacular geyser in the park. You know, it isn't. It's not the most spectacular geyser, but yet it is the only geyser that people regularly line up in order to see. Now, why is that? Because that geyser is old. Faithful, that's right. You know, and even though we struggle with being faithful, we value faithfulness. We value faithfulness as a society, even though we shun it in our own personal lives. We value it in such a way that we're willing to line up in order to see that geyser shoot its water up in the air. You know, when I'm talking about faithfulness, what in the world am I talking about? Well, I put it on your notes right there. What I'm speaking about is dependability and reliability and trustworthiness. Let's say those three words together. Dependability, reliability, and trustworthiness. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about faithfulness. You know, look here in Psalm 12, verse 1. You talk about it all being in short supply. It was back in the Bible days too. Look what King David said. He said, "Please help me, Lord. All who were faithful and all who were loyal have done what? They've disappeared. All the faithful people, all the loyal people are gone." You know, let me ask you this. If I were to ask you to write down the names of five people that you believe would never leave your side, five people that you could always depend on, always trust, always know that were going to be faithful to you, and you wrote those names down, and then you gave me those names. And then I went to them and said, "Now, I want you to write down the names of five people that you believe would never leave your side, people who are faithful and trustworthy and true, people you could always depend on." Let me ask you this question. Would your name be on their list? Got to think about that. Are you faithful? Are you known to be faithful? I think that's the question at hand. You know, you may see yourself as loyal and faithful, but let me ask you a question. Does anybody else know it? You may think that you are trustworthy, dependable, and true. Does anybody else know that? That's the question. And you know what? Faithfulness and integrity are highly regarded qualities in the lives of believers. Let me give you the example from Dr. Seuss for a moment. Let's bring this story into the message. You know, some time ago, Dr. Seuss wrote this book called Horton Hatches the Egg. In the book, we've got this elephant who is an exemplary elephant. This elephant is kind-hearted, faithful, trustworthy, and true. And one day, this lazy mama bird named Macy shows up and asks Horton to climb up on that tree and sit on her egg because she wanted to take a vacation. Well, unfortunately for Horton, that vacation turned into a permanent departure. But here's the thing. There was nothing that would keep Horton from fulfilling his promised duty. He promised her that this is what he would do, and he was an elephant of his word, and he carried this out. And we're talking about through days and months and almost to the point of a year, when summer turned to fall and fall turned to winter, he sat. And then when spring came, all his friends showed up. And what did they do? Were they supportive? Were they encouraging? No, they teased him. They taunted him. They mocked him. And then they all went away laughing at him and just left him. Then some hunters show up and capture Horton. They take Horton, the tree, the nest, everything, and sell Horton off to a traveling circus, where once again people come to point, to laugh, to mock at Horton, who is fulfilling his faithful mission. But for Horton, he only had one motto, regardless of the ridicule, regardless of who came and who went. He said, "I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. For an elephant is faithful." 100. There's some Horton readers in here. An elephant is faithful what? 100%. That's exactly right. An elephant is faithful 100%. We can learn, we Christians, we followers of Jesus Christ, can learn a lot from an old elephant named Horton. And we're going to come back to Horton along the way. But I want to say this. I want to answer this particular question. Why is it that you think that faithfulness and integrity is such a highly prized quality that God has for his followers? Why do you think God so highly prizes faithfulness and integrity in you and me? Those of us who actually claim the name of Jesus Christ. Why is integrity and faithfulness so important to God? Well, I'm going to answer that question. We're going to do it right now. Get your pens ready to write, because here we go. Here it is. Faithfulness, here's the first reason. Faithfulness reflects what? The character of God. Let's say it. Faithfulness reflects the character of God. That's it. Faithfulness reflects the character of God. You see, God is faithful. God is faithful. I'm going to say it again. God is faithful, and what God desires is that we, as his followers, reflect the character that he has. And he is faithful. God is faithful. You see, the way you live your life is a reflection of something. Now, the question is, does the way you live your life reflect the character of Jesus Christ? Here's what Paul had to say, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Let's read the first three words. Ready? God is faithful. Once again, God is faithful. That's it. God is faithful. And then he goes on to say in this particular verse that he will not let you be tempted beyond anything you can bear. What's he talking about here? He's saying, look, you know, when temptation comes your way, maybe temptation not to be faithful, maybe that's one of them. When temptation comes your way, you will not be tempted beyond your ability to be able to say no, or your ability to be able to resist that temptation. That means, you know, when you give in to temptation and do what you're not supposed to be doing, don't be blaming the devil for it. You did that all by yourself. You don't be blaming the devil. And with all due respect to Flip Wilson and Geraldine, the devil didn't make him do it. He did it all by himself, just like you and me. And why didn't God allow the devil to make us do something? I'll tell you why. It's the first three words of that scripture. Because God is, there it is. Because God is faithful. Look at the second one. Here's the second reason. Faithfulness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. I want you to write that down. Faithfulness is one of the fruits of the Spirit, folks. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Faithfulness is. In fact, where we see it, Galatians, Paul said it. Here it is, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Look at this first line. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives. All right, stop right there for a minute. That's a big statement right there. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives, that is, when we've said yes to Jesus and we give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to bring the character of God into us, to empower us, when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, what happens? We end up producing this kind of fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's right. When the Holy Spirit comes into us, then we say, well, how do we know if someone is a follower of Jesus Christ? Somebody will ask me that occasionally. My answer is always, well, do you see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control displayed in their life? There you go. And you say, well, how in the world are you saying that these things right there, these fruits of the Spirit, have to be displayed in us in order to be? Well, you think about it. What do apple trees produce? Apples. What do orange trees produce? Oranges. What do peach trees produce? Peaches. What do Christians produce? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's exactly right. That's who we are as followers of Christ. You see, for the Lord, these faithfulness and integrity are highly regarded qualities in the lives of those who claim His name. That's what we're talking about right here. Let's get back to Horton for a second. You know, I think one of the reasons why Dr. Seuss books are so timeless, I mean, my parents read them to me. I read them to our kids. Rosemary and I read them to our children as well. One of the reasons they're so timeless is that the lessons that they illustrate are most often found right there in God's Word. And you know what? There is no doubt when you read Horton Hatch's The Egg that this is an elephant that displays the fruit of the Spirit in his life. You see it displayed in that elephant named Horton. So when Horton climbed up out there on the tree and sat on the egg, here's what the book says. He sat there all day and he kept the egg warm. He sat there all night through a terrible storm. It poured and it lightened, it thundered and it rumbled. This isn't much fun, the poor elephant grumbled. I wish you'd come back because I'm cold and I'm wet. I hope that mazy bird doesn't forget. So Horton kept sitting there day after day, and soon it was autumn. The leaves blew away, and then came the winter, and the snow, and the sleet, and icicles hung from his trunk and his feet. But Horton kept sitting and said with a sneeze, I'll stay on this egg, and I won't let it freeze. For I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. An elephant is faithful 100%. That's exactly right. And you think, well, okay. Now we know that this is a highly prized quality that God wants in people like you and me. But so what are the characteristics of a faithful person? Here's the first one right here. A faithful person looks out for the interests of others. A faithful person doesn't look simply after his interests or her interests. It looks after the interests and welfare of others. And you know who's a perfect example of that we find in the Scripture? Is Paul's young good friend, Timothy. Paul's good friend, Timothy, is a perfect example of that. In fact, check this scripture out right here. This is what Paul had to say about his friend, Timothy. He said, I don't have anyone else like Timothy. Let's stop right there for a second. I mean, how many people say that about you? I don't have anybody as good as you. Let me tell you, that's something. I don't have anybody else like Timothy. Well, why doesn't he have anybody else like Timothy? Because look at the next sentence, it's underlined. He takes a genuine interest, what? In your welfare, right? He cares about you. He's concerned about you. He looks out after you. He says everybody else looks after his or her own interests, but not those of Jesus Christ. But you know what kind of person Timothy proved to be? We worked hard together to spread the good news. Well, let me tell you, you know, that's quite a recommendation from Paul, isn't it? I mean, what is it that made Paul say what he said about Timothy? He was faithful. He was faithful. And he cared about other people. And, you know, I've said this over and over and over and over again, and the scriptures prove it out by example after example after example. I hope you hear it. Listen carefully. You and I are the happiest and the healthiest when our lives are focused on others rather than on ourselves. We are the healthiest and the happiest when our lives are focused on others rather than ourselves. That is gospel truth, folks. We see it in example after example after example after example throughout God's word right there. Why? Because when we care for others, we are serving the Lord. Hear it. That's what we do. And folks, you know, I pray for us as a church all the time. I mean, all the time. I pray for you. I may not pray specifically by name, but I am praying for everyone in this congregation that we, excuse me, may be a church that seeks to live on behalf of others that we may serve the Lord. That we would be a church that makes a genuine difference in the lives of hurting people in our community and across our nation, such as down in Southeast Texas and Southwest Louisiana, where they're up to their necks in water and they've lost their homes. 40,000 people appear at this point to be homeless. 500,000 vehicles have been lost. And that doesn't include the number of lives that of people that have been lost, where families are grieving even today and cannot even bury their dead right now. I mean, this is how tragic it is. The entire, in fact, 70% of Harris County, Texas was underwater. 70% of the county in America's fourth largest city. You know, what are we to do? Well, we can't all rush down to Houston. It would be a disaster for us all to rush down to Houston. But we can do something. We can respond. And this is not the only thing that we can respond to. We respond to things right here in our own neighborhoods, in our own backyards. You see, we need to be a church that models what it means to be faithful. We are faithful people, people of integrity who live the gospel life in a way that makes a difference and shows the world that Jesus Christ is Lord. And most especially, because if he is Lord in here, then wherever we go, that's where Jesus is Lord. Because if the Holy Spirit is controlling your life, people, what do you show the world? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There it is. We can see it happening. All right, let's keep on going. I got to move this thing quickly. We'll change the screen then. There it is. All right, good. Faithful people, what do they do? Keep their promises. Faithful people keep their promises. Yeah, that's what faithful people do. Faithful people are individuals of their word, right? Are people of their word. In fact, check what wise old King Solomon had to say, Proverbs 25:14. People who promise things they never give are like clouds and wind that bring no rain. They're all show and no action. You know, what's he saying? Say what you mean and mean what you say. You know, this is one of the values. I got to tell you, this whole idea of faithfulness and integrity are values that Rosemary and I did our hardest to instill in our kids. We wanted them to grow up to be men and women of faithful integrity. We want them to exhibit that in their life. You know, because I was thinking when I was preparing through this, you know, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I would just want you to think when I say how many of you, just think about this. How many of you have been deeply, and I'm talking about deeply, deeply hurt by someone who promised you, who swore that they would do something for you, whatever it may be, and then never followed through? You talk about a deep wound. The lack of faithfulness hurts. Hurts. Whether it's in relationships and marriages, or whether it's between friends, or whether it's between you and your kids, or kids between you and your parents. Faithfulness, let me say it this way, a lack of faithfulness is a deep, deep wound. It's no wonder God highly prizes faithfulness and integrity in people like us, followers of Jesus Christ. In fact, look here, Psalm 15, verse 4 and 5 say, faithful people always do what they promise, no matter how much it may cost. They'll always be secure. Let me bring Horton back into the story for a second. You know, for Horton, his resolve to be faithful, you think about this. It cost him, didn't it? It cost him. And what did it cost him? It cost not only a year of his life sitting up there on a tree, but what about his friends? All his friends came, they pointed, they teased, they laughed, and then they went away and left him all alone. In fact, here's what it says in the book. He says, so poor Horton sat there the whole winter through. And then came the springtime with troubles anew. His friends gathered round and they shouted with glee, look, Horton the elephant is up in a tree. They taunted, they teased him, they yelled, how absurd. Oh, Horton the elephant thinks he's a bird. They laughed and they laughed and they all ran away. And Horton was lonely. He wanted to play. But he sat on the egg and continued to say, I meant what I said and I said what I meant. An elephant is faithful. There it is, 100%. It cost him. But you know what? It's exactly what faithful people do. Even though it may cost us, if we've said it, if people are depending on us, we model what it means to be a faithful person of integrity as a follower of Christ when we follow it up with action. Here's number three. Faithful people live a life of integrity. Faithful people live a life of integrity. Faithful people live a life of integrity. Well, you know, what is integrity? Well, if you look online at the Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary, you find it says this, the quality or state of being complete or undivided or incorruptible. That's the way Webster says. Here's the way Jesus said it. He says, when you're talking, say yes when you mean yes and no when you mean no. Anything more than that comes from where? Yeah. Now there he says he's coming from the devil, coming from Satan, whispering in our ear, we don't need to be faithful. We don't need to be living a life of integrity. You know, Jesus is saying right here, in other words, say what you mean and mean what you say. Let me give you three reasons real quick why integrity is important, and then we'll close this whole thing out. Here's the first one. Integrity pleases God. This is why God highly values it and pleases him. Integrity pleases God. It pleases God. It's the first reason why you and I need to live lives of integrity. It pleases God. You know, here's the reason why. Listen to this. I want you to hear it. That God is absolute integrity. God is absolute integrity. What does that mean? It means God can't tell you a lie. That's what it means. That means God can't tell you anything but the truth. Why? Because he's absolute integrity. And why is it that God can't give in to deception? Well, God can't give in to deception because it's the very opposite of who God is. You see, this is why it's important for you and me to live a life of integrity. In fact, we see it right here. Go ahead and put the scripture up. Proverbs 11:20. It says, the Lord detests people with, what's that? Crooked hearts. What's he talking about? He's talking about deception. Deception, crooked hearts. But he delights in those with integrity. Why? It's the opposite of who God is. Crooked hearts, deception is the opposite of who God is. For God is absolute what? Integrity. Absolute integrity. And you know, we in our society, we can find all kinds of ways to rationalize our dishonesty. We do it all the time. And I think one of the most famous ways that we rationalize our dishonesty is when we're saying, well, who's going to know? Who's going to know? Well, I want to tell you something. There are always two people who will know about your deception. One's God. Who's the second one? That's exactly right. You will go to bed every night knowing that you cheated, or knowing that you lied, or knowing that you deceived someone. And you can't ever hide from yourself, and you can't ever hide from the Lord. Now, the Lord's going to forgive you if you ask him. Absolutely, he will. But you're still going to know. You're going to know that you hurt somebody. You're going to know what it is you did. You see, integrity pleases God. And that's why we need to live lives that show that. Okay, here's the second reason. Integrity affects other people. Integrity, your integrity or lack thereof affects other people. Your integrity or lack thereof does what? Affects other people. It affects other people. It affects other people around you. You're going to influence others based on your integrity or lack thereof. In fact, the first place you're going to affect or influence others is right there in your own home. Check this out. When people live good, honest lives, their children are what? They're blessed. Let me tell you, moms and dads, don't think your kids aren't watching you. Let me put it this way. This is better said. Don't think they're not learning from you. Whether you have a mountain or integrity in your home is somewhere near Death Valley. Your kids are learning from you. You want to bless your kids? Have integrity. Live it out. Model it. You want to have a great community? Live with integrity. Look at this. Again from Proverbs. Go on next one. The influence of good people does what? Makes a city great. You want a community of integrity? Then live it. Model it. Show it. You want a great nation? Check this out. Again, what does he say? Doing what's right does what? Makes a nation great. Let me tell you, we need leaders who live and model integrity. We need leaders who live and model faithfulness. We need to be a part of the solution and not add to the difficulties. Model it, live it as people of integrity. Here's the last thing, and that is integrity does what? It blesses me. There's a benefit of living with integrity, folks. It blesses me. Not only does it please God, not only does your integrity or lack thereof affect the people around you, but when you live with integrity, it blesses you. It blesses you. In fact, the Bible has, oh gosh, dozens and dozens of examples of this. Let me give you just one of them. Here it is, Proverbs 28:20. Let's read it together. A faithful person will be richly blessed. There it is, richly blessed. Now, that does not mean that you're going to win the lottery. You know, I mean, I hope one of you wins the lottery. I would love a tithe on that lottery income. And so I will pray maybe that you will win that. But that doesn't mean that you're going to do it. But it does not also mean that your life is not going to be without hardship. Doesn't mean people in your life aren't going to get ill. It doesn't mean you may not lose your job. Doesn't mean you're not going to struggle with difficulty or lose someone you love. But what does that mean? It means that you live every day with the knowledge that you have done the right thing, the godly thing, the faithful thing, that you have modeled integrity in all of your action. And you can put your head on the pillow at night and know, I am blessed. I am blessed. Because I'm acting in a way that pleases God. I live my life with integrity, and nobody can ever take that away from you. Here's the end. You see, in the end of the book, Horton is sitting on the egg. He's been sold to a traveling circus. It's been like 51 weeks that Horton has been up there on that egg. And guess who shows back up at the last second? Old Macy. Macy comes flying in. She sees Horton up there, and she demands that Horton now get off that egg. And Horton, being a person of integrity, backs himself off the egg. And the moment he does it, the egg begins to move, it begins to roll, it begins to shudder, and then it blows open, and here's what happened. And the people came shouting, "What's all this about?" They looked and they stared with their eyes popping out. They cheered and they cheered and they cheered more and more. They'd never seen anything like this before. "My goodness, my gracious," they shouted. "My word, it's something brand new. It's an elephant bird." And now listen how Dr. Seuss ends this story. He says, "And it should be. It should be. It should be like that. Because Horton was faithful. He sat and he sat. He meant what he had said, and he said what he meant, and they sent him home happy 100%. And you know what, folks? Those of you who claim the name of Jesus Christ, as you walk out these doors, as you live your life at home, at work, at play, wherever you go, your motto ought to be, "I say what I mean, and I meant what I said, for a Christian is faithful 100%. There it is. We are called to model faithfulness as integrity. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, for you are so good and you're good to us all the time. And we thank you, Lord, that we're a part of a church family that continues to raise the bar on us. That we are called to model what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to display your character in our life. So, Lord, do your work in us. For I pray, Lord, that we may be a church that is known in our community as people who are faithful and who live lives of integrity, so that others may know and see that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father, may it be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.